Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, YouTube, iHeartRadio, everywhere you listen to the podcast. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Unfortunately, our co-host, Nicole Six, everybody's favorite horror writer, is out scaring people tonight. And it's a shame because she's going to miss what I know is going to be one of our best shows, because last time one of our guests was on, it was one of our best shows. We went for an hour and a half and barely scratched the surface. And she's back, and I'm so glad she's back. She's one of the top guitar players of the year. And there's plenty of lists to prove it. The guitar player for the String Revolution and her own solo stuff, Janet Robin. Hi, Janet.
Oh, I promise I won't tell the same stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll try not to ask the same question. But I remember we went for like an hour and a half. I'm like, oh, we went for like an hour.
Yeah,
I think after the hour, we're just at the precious metal stage. So we really, there's so much more about you that we need to find out.
We're lucky today to be joined by one of the Europe's top guitar players.
I know. I was just about to mention that.
From the String Revolution.
Fellow guitar player in the String Revolution. I want to know where you found all these guitar players. And he's the highfalutin classical master of,
that's right.
Of
yes.
The String Revolution. It's Marcus Ilko. Hi, Marcus. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Well, this is quite some. These are quite some compliments. I don't know what to say about that, but thank you so much.
Well, let's say you're presumably a better guitar player than I am. I'm terrible. I barely can play Smoke on the Water, barely, and I try to figure that out myself. And
in that case, maybe you can show me.
He doesn't know Smoke on the Water.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Yeah, you have.
Crazy Train, like everybody else.
Well, we're actually working on Crazy Train right now as a cover. But actually, Marcus is one of those musicians who actually can read music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit, yeah. But I read the wrong notes.
Yeah, right.
No. He has a master's degree in music, and he's also described as a... caffeinated and zany personality. So I hope you had your caffeine. Speaking of caffeine.
Well, I had four. I think it works somehow.
Well, I better catch up to you. And here's how I'm going to do it.
Oh, God.
Raise Energy Drinks. We are sponsored by Raise Energy Drinks. If you like energy drinks, this is the best stuff. You can't get this in stores. You can get it in GNC. You can get it in gyms. Or even better, use our code, which was, if you're listening to us on podcast, it's in the description. If you're listening to us on YouTube, it's in the description. You get 15% off a case. This is the Baja Lime flavor.
Ooh, and it looks
like
cool
Baja
as well.
Blast, Taco Bell. Best part, zero carbs,
nice.
Zero calories.
Love it.
Crash. I'm going to pop one.
Okay, there. This is my energy drink right here.
Yeah, so wine works too.
The wine. Well, I still eat my coffee in the meantime.
Delicious.
Carbs and sugar in this, but what
that's okay. It all works. But we are also sponsored by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial to Audible, and you get access to all the Audible originals.
Nice.
So anyway, Janet, I welcome back. I'm so glad that you are back. And we're talking about the String Revolution, which we barely touched on last time. But before we get there, did I hear right that you turned down the guitar position in the Alanis Morissette's band right when she was just about to become a superstar?
See, this is how things get passed from what I say one thing and then it gets passed to another and then it gets changed. And no, I turned down the audition.
Oh,
the audition for it. And, you know, Alanis Morissette wasn't. Alana, I mean, she was
nobody
just.
Know her.
Yeah, nobody had heard of her. She had a deal, and she was coming out with the record. And I got called, and I guess she was open to having a girl in the band. But I was just starting my solo stuff. It was after Lindsey Buckingham's gig.
Right.
And I was just like, I want to try and see if I can make this work. And I made some hard pat decisions, you know. Who knows what would have happened if I had said yes? I might not have gotten the gig anyway, you know. But
uh-oh.
Yeah.
Have you ever not gotten a gig? You're always You seem to be always popping up, and
I'm trying. Yeah, I didn't get the gig with Lisa Loeb.
What?
Don't know. And I ran into her at some event. She doesn't remember, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's okay. I didn't get the gig with her. I don't know why. Yeah, it's. Yeah, sure. I haven't gotten every gig I've auditioned for, but
yeah. I'm not. And things are, you know, things work the way they're supposed to work.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily turn a lot of these things down now, but they really have to fit in a certain box. The way my life is going, my commitment to the String Revolution, my commitment to some of my blues project I'm working on. So it would have to be something really special for me, you know, to incorporate some another thing into my busy music life.
Well, I know you're doing solo stuff, you're doing blues stuff, you're doing the String Revolution, which hopefully things work out and you'll be performing live for the first time in over 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, our last, we played the Grammy Museum, which was great. That was in December of 2019. And then in February of 2020, we played out in Tehachapi at this other gig. And that was really the last gig, February of 2020.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and you must be missing it. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, we finally got together this year after we were all vaccinated. And yeah, I mean, it was like a time warp. And we did do some things over the pandemic, right, Marcus? We did a couple of new songs. That was weird too, like recording like separately, which it's okay. It's just
I mean the thing is you really want to do some music. You want to stand on the stage, right? And you can't do it. And then yeah. I mean, but at the same time, we were able to record, of course.
Yeah.
We were able to put some home video style recordings together, you know, right. Which is cute and nice.
Yeah.
But it was still not the same, you know.
No, it's still not play, and we couldn't do a live streaming show because we really couldn't be together.
Right. No. And then after 1 year we came together, and then it was as if we just saw each other a week ago. You know, it was just awkward. But I think billions of other people experience the same thing. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
By the way, if someone didn't realize there was a pandemic or is still a one going on, you know, and if you listen to that and have never heard of it, well, congratulations.
Yeah, it sucks. And now, what's even weirder is people are starting to figure out how to socialize again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have to be careful about that too now, because the variant.
Yeah, it's a weird time. I was like. Well, I was telling you guys, I just had to postpone the show tomorrow that I was going to do. But it was like in May, everybody, the world collectively said, okay, it's over. And then it came back. Which
yeah, no. I know.
Well, that sounds like Britney Spears, huh?
But
everybody's going to start shaving their head pretty soon. And,
I'm coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Now, Janet, now, the String Revolution is your brainchild.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought of the idea, but we're truly a democratic band. I don't know, Marcus, I don't really have any more say in this.
No, it's a very democratic saying with one leader.
Not really, no.
Like Russia, you know, like democratic.
Right.
Everyone who says something will be arrested. So, yeah. But it's very, very democratic, so I can't say anything against it. Otherwise, I'll have some issues.
It is by vote only, you know, by democratic vote, and we actually signed partnership papers, so it's right. It's collectively the String Revolution now. Yes, I came up with the concept of it. You know, I was influenced by Lindsay's band of guitars, you know, and I was thinking of something. I wanted to do something different for my solo project that was really. Showcase the guitar, you know, and
that's Lindsey Buckingham that you're talking about. If people don't know, from Fleetwood right. Mac, you were in his band, and apparently he was quite the taskmaster. But
yes, he was.
But
he taught me. No, he taught me some good skills. You know, he was a perfectionist, and I mean, my playing, my approach to guitar, my approach to performing, everything just went up like a huge level after that gig. And I did my solo stuff for a long time, and then I had a vocal injury, and that set me back for a while. And I think that's when I started thinking about maybe I should have another band that isn't so so much vocal oriented, you know, so that I didn't have to just rely, you know, on that. That's where I thought of, how about a guitar oriented, more instrumental, slight type of band, and then with a you know, focus on making the guitar being used as like a make the band sound like a band only using guitars, you right. know, percussive stuff, all these kinds of different things.
Right. And by the way, we just got joined. I do have a co-host, amazing co-host this week. There she is, Bree Walker, everybody's favorite anchor woman. Hi, Bree.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Sorry to join you late.
That's okay. We've got Janet Robin, one of the best acoustic guitar players in the world,
you have to stop saying that.
One of the best female guitar players in the world by
that too. You have to stop that too.
We also have Marcus, who's apparently one of the best guitar players in the world too. He's a classical master. He's got a master's degree in music. He can read music, and they're both part of the string revolution.
Yes.
Wow, you've got some stardom in your show, Mark.
Oh, wait, what do you hear with these people to play with? But Jana, when you were the conceiving of the string revolution, did you intentionally want all male guitar players?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, I just wanted people who got what I was trying to put together, and I know a lot of great players, you know, in the area, male and female, but I purposely put an ad in Craigslist.
She was searching for men on Craigslist.
No, well, everybody knows that's definitely not true.
I was going to say, I find that very unlikely.
Yeah. Yes, that's for another podcast. But anyway.
We touched on my Craigslist ads last time, but that's a whole different story.
I need some tips from all of you.
Well, Craigslist isn't what it used to be. We'll talk about that later.
No, but I have had some luck on Craigslist with other things. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to, because Craigslist in the music community in LA is actually very active.
Right.
You know, and I thought I'm going to really spend time, you know, making this ad sound the way I want it to make regarding this project and the kind of people I was looking for. And not one girl, I said male or female in the ad, and not one girl answered it. And it was Daniel, our other member, two other members unfortunately couldn't make it tonight, but Daniel answered first, and then Art, the other guy who couldn't make it, answered a few people later, and then Daniel, we still were looking for another person, and I was getting all these like shredders and people, you know, answering that were great, like shredding type of Van Halen type of players, but that's not what I was looking for. I immediately loved Daniel's video he sent me. Same with Art. I was like, this is exactly what I want. And then I was like, we need another person. And Daniel, that's where Marcus comes, because Daniel said, oh, I met this guy, another European guy, because Daniel is from Switzerland. And, you know, he plays, I don't know if he'd be into this, he plays mostly classical and some Latin stuff, you know, nylon string. And I'm like, call him, you know, because that's the whole idea. I didn't want everybody to be coming from the same background of music. You know, I wanted an amalgam of people. Yeah.
And you ended up with you with your background, classical guitar player, somebody from what I understand, kind of more of a jazzy thing more than Latin sort of thing. There's all sorts of influences.
Marcus, yeah.
What drew you to the string revolution? You were doing your own thing.
Well, yeah. So when Daniel approached me, I was at a time when I did more film music at that moment, because I'm writing for film and for.
You're still doing that now. You're still. He's a composer.
Yeah, I just had a nice gig few weeks ago for the Olympic Games, which was cool. So yeah, that's what I'm also doing. So when he approached me, I was just working on a couple of movies, and then I was, first of all, I was just intrigued. I said, oh, okay, let's check it out. And then I came together.
It was at a rehearsal.
And then I saw Janet, and I said immediately, no. So I said, no way I would play with this woman. No, I'm just kidding. No. But it was fun, you know. So we went together and we came up with something, because
immediately when we all got together in this rehearsal, I was just gonna be like, oh, I hope, you know, I wonder what's gonna happen, you know. Nobody knows anybody. We hadn't played together yet. And we immediately started writing something. Do you remember? It was Jumping. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it was a kind of like, you know, getting to know each other. You know, I mean, everyone has a different way of writing stuff, you know, especially if you, I mean, I love to figure things out and write it down as well, or just, you know, or different way. And then getting together and everyone is putting their things in, it was a different approach, because you don't know the people yet. Right, you just figure it out. But it was great. It was a lot of fun from the very, very beginning.
It was fun,
and it just got better and better. And we're still it's still learning, and it's just, I mean, we just have a blast doing what we do. And well, some people like it too, so that's nice, right?
Certainly put up with my shit.
And that's a lot of shit.
Oh, go tell Mark. Tell us about Janet's shit.
Oh, well, I think you have only 1 hour, right? So,
yeah. Right.
We won't have enough time for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we always seem to. Yeah. But
they keep me on my toes. I'm getting older. I forget parts sometimes, and you know, I'm like, I gotta step it up. I like being in these bands sometimes where it keeps me on my toes. You know, when you're in your solo thing, you can kind of get comfortable, right? It's your own thing, especially sure. Especially if you're like me and I tour mostly solo acoustic, you know, you do whatever.
In Europe.
If you make mistakes, you just say it's part of the your
yeah right. But when you're playing in a you know, a band like this, and there are set parts, and you know, it's been really good for me. It's kept my playing on my toes and kept my brain, you know, quick. And Just like Lindsay, you know, where he kind of beat me up a bit. These guys don't do that, but they are like my brothers a little bit.
But we want to.
They want to beat me up.
Yeah, you seem like the bratty older sister in some ways.
I can be loud and brash and annoying, you know.
But speaking of that, Janet, now, I remember we were talking about what a taskmaster Lindsay Buckingham was, and how he would record everybody's parts separately and just really dissect them. Do you do that with these guys?
I don't do it. I would say Daniel would be the one who's the taskmaster, don't you think?
Right. Daniel has, he really has Swiss clock in him.
Swiss knife. Yeah.
Swiss knife, yeah. He is good on tasks, yeah. He's very organized, keeping the things together, and yeah.
Yeah.
So I think like after a few years, everyone found their strength in it, and everyone is putting those things together. And we know everyone has, you know, some things they prefer to do, and because it's actually at the end, if you have a band, it's not only just about playing.
Yeah. You have to. In the car, you know, you have to live with each other on the road a bit. That's
right.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But Marcus, when did you start playing guitar? What inspired you?
When I started, that was actually, I think it was 13. So I listened a lot to that beginning. I just wanted to be a rock guitarist, but I had another teacher who was playing more flamenco. And then I listened to a concert of Paco de Lucía. So as a child, I went to one of his concerts. And that just intrigued me. So I was just playing and playing and playing. And at the end, one of those guys from Paco de Lucía's band was, he was my teacher as well. So one step after the other, and then I just started to play concerts.
Is 13 late to play guitar? Is that just about right?
I mean, with you 13...
Is it late? I know Janet started earlier, but, and I know...
Right. I don't know. You know, there are some people who I don't think it's late. No, not at all. It really depends on what you want to play, right? So what first of all, what kind of music style you want to play? And if you do music, I mean, technique is secondary. If it's really just about music, the pure music, right? Technique, because yeah, this just comes. I mean, you need to practice. If you want to play flamenco, you might need to practice a little bit more. But yeah, I don't think it's late.
So, me starting flamenco, a guitar at 41 might be a little late.
It's never too late to
No,
play.
no.
Never, never too late to play an instrument.
Yeah.
You know, it. I mean, music is it's in the universe.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm kidding.
you have to. I know you're kidding. I'm just saying. We both teach a little bit, and I teach all ages, and I just think it's music is so like. It's a religion to
Right.
me,
Yeah.
and you know
Well,
it's in the universe. The universe wants us to play music and share it. I
right.
mean,
And Bree, Janet's guitar teacher was he wasn't too shabby. His name was Randy Rhoads from Ozzy Osbourne's band in the 80s.
oh, that's pretty cool. You
Yeah.
know, and she sure brings up a good point. Music is so good for your brain. It really can keep people from having brain injuries.
Yeah,
It really can.
dementia. Yeah, I mean, I lost my dad recently to dementia and Alzheimer's, and you know, after he retired, he didn't really have a hobby or anything, and it's like I mean, guitar isn't a hobby for me, but anything you can keep firing those synapses in your brain, you know, like it's clearly in my family, and I don't want to end up like that, you know. So yeah, I mean, if I have to go out on stage in a fucking wheelchair, I'm going out on stage with my guitar in a wheelchair.
All right, well,
Good for
well, I
you.
mean, I could get you a wheelchair. That's not a
Yeah,
problem. But
yeah.
I was, but I mentioned that now. What was your reaction when he finally got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Although, you know.
I had no idea he was in the running, and I immediately called Kathy, Randy's sister, and Kelly, Randy's brother, and I was like, what? You know? And they're like, it was Tom Morello. It was
Original
all
pronunciation.
Tom Morello who pushed it through. And I've spoken to Tom before. We've met. He's a huge Randy Rhoads fan. So much so, that he named his son Rhoads.
Right.
You know? And I guess he has, you know, he was pushing for the nomination, and it went through.
And it's for whatever that's worth. I mean, I know I was talking to Tommy Chong about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because I think Cheech and Chong deserve to be in there too.
Well, they're not really musicians, though.
Well, but they've had hits and they were, I mean, if you're going to put Run DMC in there, and you should because they were influential to rock music.
Oh, they were. I mean, when you think about Cheech and Chong, and more comedians, I think. But
Right,
I know
but I mean, my theory, I mean, Earache My Eye might have been the first punk song. They were influential.
that's true. I mean, you have a point with it's like Weird Al Yankovic, same thing, right? I
Yeah,
mean.
I would say he deserves. I mean, there's only like three or four I would put in there, but he's like, I don't want to get charged to be inducted into a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's stupid. So, but in this case, I think it's fitting. He deserves to be in there with the immortals, and he's dead. He doesn't have to pay to go to the
Who
dinner.
knows?
So.
It may happen, but I did buy tickets to go, and
Great.
hopefully COVID will calm down a little more, and because I have the tickets, I plan on going. I mean, this is my teacher, you
Of
know.
course, yeah, it's great, and he definitely deserves to be in. Now, I was gonna okay. Marcus is back. Okay, he's got another cup of coffee. He's sweaty and zany,
Well,
but
you have a good strong energy drink, so I need to come
I've
after
got
it.
the Mad
What
Oni Raise energy drink.
is the name again?
It's Raise Energy Drinks. That's our sponsor.
Raise.
RAZE, 15% off. And these, but Marcus, I was gonna say, now you were talking about some of your session work. You said you did work for the Olympics, and what else have you done as far as session wise that we may have heard of? A lost
Well,
soundtrack, I think, right?
Olympics, yeah. Olympics was not session work. I'm just a composer of it. So I produce it, write it.
I'm sorry.
So this stuff is more like, it's the advertising stuff. Well, what else did I do? I did Lamborghini. I did.
You just did the Tokyo Olympics for Austria. Like,
Right. Yeah.
he's from Austria, and you did
Right.
the theme song for your for the village, for
Something, yeah.
Olympic Village for Austria.
That's great.
Yeah, it was nice. That was very, very nice. And then other things, I mean, it's just working on a couple of documentaries and commercials, PricewaterhouseCoopers, whatever comes.
Which is a different vibe from Lamborghini, I would imagine.
A little bit. But the thing is, I mean, I personally love those short things, 3 minutes, because I love to work with all different medias, with visual media as well. And then you can write for whatever comes up. If I write for orchestra, I write for orchestra. If I write an electric track, I do that. If it's more pop, it's alternative. So you can invite a lot of musicians, get some stuff done.
Well, you never invite me. What I mean.
Yeah, I said musicians.
Oh, here you go.
So if the people didn't understand, I really love Janet. I really love her.
I can see this is there's a little this is such brotherly sisterly sort of thing. You can tell the respect that you have because
Steve.
you're really
Yeah,
busting
it's.
each other's balls.
No, I really love Janet. I think with us, if we play together, but now we know each other very well, and I highly respect Janet for what she's doing, what she's capable of doing. She's an amazing musician, and even a more amazing person. So if you get to know her, I mean, everyone needs to check her out. I'm
Ah,
gonna.
thank you.
No, definitely. It's just some. It we.
I love all the guys in the band. They're all so great, and I just love what everybody brings to when we write. I feel like it's really like amazing energy. Sometimes I'll yell out and say, "Marcus, you could do better than that."
Well, yeah, you're the master. You're a master of
Actually,
segues because I was going to ask both of you about
she really
Daniel and
doesn't.
Art. Daniel
Some.
and Art, who are not here, who are part of the
Yeah,
band with you.
I know. Like, it feel bad for them. We're talking
No,
behind their back.
like, what? Tell us what they bring to the band.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
No,
Just the two
no.
of
I'm
you.
just. No. I'm just kidding about those things.
Everybody
I'm
is
saying
so.
too many
Everything
stupid
is so
things.
different. Daniel really loves
Right.
slide and this sort of bluegrass background, and also he comes from hard rock background like I do too. He has a strange mixture, and he's good on percussion too. So he
Right.
we do have some stuff where he's banging on the guitar the whole song. That's all he does. And then you have Art, who's like, nobody really knows where he lives, if that's really his name. He's like Mr. Like, does he work for the CIA or something? He's so quiet and unassuming, and he thinks totally outside of the box. Like, I do not play anything like him at all.
You're one of those guys.
Right? One of those guys.
No,
Quiet.
the musical ideas art
They're
comes out.
melodic. They're very melodic to
But
me.
yeah, it's very melodic, but also very rhythmic. So he has
That
those
too.
rhythmic changes inside, and he does it with such an ease. I'm always surprised. I'm like, how did he come up with that idea? And he uses a lot of open tuning. So
Tunings.
open tuning, for those who don't know what it means, it's just you change the strings, right? So you have different things.
Different tunings, yeah.
Right, and then it's not only for guitar. He's also amazing producer.
Producer.
So he's producing. He's been with a lot of different bands, and it's very 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 special guy. And the music as well. And as Jen already said, Daniel is also fantastic. He's of course he's very organized, but it helps him to produce things.
Does, yeah.
Okay. He has a very strong knowledge of the whole production process, knows how to handle and you know work with all those different musicians, and also his style is his playing. He loves to play the dobro. He loves the Swiss guy who brings the dobro, right?
The dobro is like a slide guitar.
Right. I'm familiar.
He's amazing. He too knows a bit more. Speaks in the more musical language than I do. The Europeans are always like, "Oh, you're playing the third of the second of the fourth of the A minor of the seventh," and
So too. I mean.
True. Right.
Well, it is true. Yeah, but sometimes we come up and then. We play a major seven, which is a little bit more jazzy, if you say so. And the first thing you hear from the side of a general is like, "Don't play jazz! Don't play jazz!" So, okay.
I like jazz. It has to fit in the right spot, Right. I mean, we really do try to be diplomatic with each other, but it's always fun. It's always fun, and there's always something, when the song starts to take shape, you're like. Right. Oh, that's kind of cool.
But the one thing about the fun, and this is something I think it's specifically with us for our band, and I've just experienced. We have so much fun to play live.
Yeah, on stage.
Every live show. I mean, I feel I'm very very fortunate to say that, and we are blessed that we have great fans. Every live show is just a blast, and every time at the end of the live show, I'm every time surprised. There's just always standing ovation. I'm not saying we are so good, right? I mean, we always.
Well, don't say that.
No, but saying we just try to do it, but we have fun, and I think the people who listen to it are feeling that as well. And every time I'm playing live concert, I'm still learning every time.
Of course.
You never know how things end up. You make some mistakes. So I think this is the one thing we are blessed with the group we have, because we have, as I said, just everyone together. It's just
I think the energy, the camaraderie is really, it's really nice. It's really, really nice. And the pandemic just threw a wrench into everything. I mean,
I start playing live for the first time in 2 years. It's amazing. I know after not having done comedy live for a long time, and doing the energy's even more.
I can't wait.
See what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to my wife earlier, and she's like, "I don't know. Maybe you should wear a mask on stage." And I was like, "Oh,
Well, really? That may not have anything to do with the pandemic, but.
Yeah, that's what Bree said. It could be a cool. She's like, "You can wear a cool black one," and I was like, "Well, maybe." Look, the show is, like I said, they're going to, like I was telling you earlier, they are going to require vaccine cards, and they're limiting the amount. But we've sold out of RSVPs at least, and
I'm gonna step behind. I'm gonna get on the waiting list. But I mean, Bree, can you just imagine watching four master guitar players? And to oversimplify things, basically, it's somebody based in rock, somebody based in classical, somebody based in blues, and somebody based in indie rock. Really,
right. That's what it is. And I was real clear in the Craigslist ad about. And talking to people, I didn't want this to be like a guitar center noodling band. I wanted to make songs that had structure with melody, because there wasn't going to be really singing, although we do have a couple songs where they're singing. But yeah,
who does the singing? That's Marcus?
And Art, both of them, amazing voices. I mean, I'm still singing a little bit, but I had this vocal injury, so I'm just stepping aside for now, for a minute, from the singing, and let the boys do it.
Yeah, my voice teacher says I have a great voice.
No, those two guys have a great voice, and we've talked about incorporating more singing in, but I don't want to overshadow the focus on guitar. And we all really love Rodrigo y Gabriela. We're not like them. you know, in style, but in energy and the focus on guitar, you know, and really making sure that each piece we have, even a cover, we make sure it sounds like a song.
Right.
You know, so that it's not like total dental office music, you know. Right. And I come from a family of dentists, so I know dental office music very well.
It definitely is not. However, and I know that you have great, go ahead, Bree. I'm sorry. You're going to say something.
No, I was just, I was laughing because that was a funny comment. Plus the visual of a mask. I think it would be funny if you tried that. Sure.
It is weird that they cover up the drill with like the most innocuous music.
That's true. That's true. The old days used to give you this laughing gas. That was always great. I think we are very conscious about making sure we have songs that make sense as a song, even though it doesn't have lyrics per se or singing.
And not only do you write your own songs, which are great, but you do a lot of covers, and that seems to be, you know, just the way it is that on streaming those are popular songs. But you do a guitar a version of Billie Jean, which I read somewhere is the most covered song of all time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That is.
That's amazing.
By Michael Jackson.
Wow, that's, I would think like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, I would think it'd be like Yesterday or something.
Yeah.
Like, or something. Or a standard.
White Christmas or, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, no, Marcus came to us. We discussed covers early on in the band, and he's like, well, I have an arrangement of Billie Jean, and he started playing it, and we're like, oh fuck, you know, this is amazing, you know. And he was covering so much of it, like he was doing a walking bass line while he was doing the melody, because, you know, that's the kind of great player he is. And we were like, okay, how can we make this work with three other players? And we did, didn't we, Marcus? We sort of turned your arrangement into, you know,
different. Yeah, but it was so, I mean, it made my life easier, because suddenly I didn't need to play like four different parts of the
song. Right. All at once. Yeah.
And of course it just sounds completely different. And
yeah, it sounded different from what he originally.
And then we just added some extra things and
we added our own little thing at the end. Yeah.
And then we switch guitars, you know, like while we play. I play on Janet's guitar and she plays on my guitar. So it's kind of like her.
So if you come see us, you'll see him leaning over and he plays my guitar while I'm playing.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's.
Are you the only one that plays nylon in the band, or?
Okay. I am, yeah. I mean, I kind of like want to, I really want to play the string as well, but they don't let me.
And that's not true. No. I mean, the nylon guitar does add a different sound, since the three of us are mostly on steel.
Yeah, so it's really a sound thing, right? Because if you have four steel string guitars, you really don't know what is coming from where. And if you have that a little bit different sound, and then it's nice for the mix, it makes some things a little bit more difficult as well, because I can't play. It's not that I can play everything, so we can't just change parts quickly, because if, for example, there's a part where you need to play a lot of chords, and the Western guitar is playing that. If I take over, it doesn't sound the same, right?
Yeah, it's
soft. If I do it, it would be more a Latin thing. The moment I'm like, tuk. So sometimes it's not so easy to arrange it, but it works. It works fine, I think.
Yeah, we experimented a little with possibly putting electric guitar at some point. I mean, really, it can go a lot of places, you know. But we're really happy that we do have somebody. I'm personally happy, you know, that we have somebody who's proficient on nylon finger style. I mean, he doesn't really use a pick. He's the only guy, besides Daniel, when he's playing, you know, chicken picking, he's the only guy in the band. Well, I guess Daniel also, I mean, Art sometimes finger pits too. But he's really, Marcus is really amazing finger style. And, you know,
is nylon harder to play than steel, or is it...
If nylon is harder to play,
yeah,
I don't think no.
You have to be more precise, or
well, it's easier to press down on the strings because
yeah, so it's different. Of depends on what you want to do. It's if you press down the strings, then it's on nylon string. It's easier. If you want to have a good sound, like you know, if you just play chords, then you get a bigger sound out of a Western guitar, especially if you play chords.
Right. Two different things. It's two different beasts, yeah. Really.
Yeah, it's completely different. So I think it's very difficult to say if it's easy or not. Right, but yeah. I mean, I grew up with it, so for me, you know, yeah, I'm just used to it, and I love it. I just enjoy it very much.
And I mean, I was listening to your music today. You guys do a cover of Elton John's Rocket Man. Mm-hmm. And what is about that song? I'm not even a big Elton John fan, but that song is great. And I mean, Kate Bush's cover of it is great. Your cover is great. There's something about that song. I don't know.
I think the melody is amazing. It, the melody builds, doesn't it? You think you've heard the chorus and then no? There's another great melody after that. You know, that's the greatness of Bernie Taupin, you know, and Elton John, and the lyrics are fabulous. You know, we got inspired by the movie coming out, and we're like, let's just do a cover of Rocket Man, you know? I mean, sure. We're all not like huge Elton John fans. I mean, I grew up with Yellow Brick Road, and you know, that I grew up with all his music, but the movie was so awesome. I liked it. I thought it was amazing. And so we just were like, let's try it. And we were on the road, weren't we, Marcus? I'm trying to sleep, and they're in the living room in our Airbnb, and I'm hearing Rocket Man over and over, you know?
trying to sleep at noon.
Right? Okay.
So we're talking about noon, you know? She says, I'm trying to sleep, as if we would do it at night. No.
Yeah, we've heard all the wild stories when Janet was on tour with Air Supply.
Oh yeah, what did I
remember? What you were saying? You were like, they were like, "Come on out, let's go ahead and have a drink." You're like,
"Oh yeah,
I'm just gonna stay home and
and
have some wine, go to sleep.
Stay home and yeah, I know.
Like Air Supply out-partied you.
They can party, those guys. But the problem in that band was that we always had early, early calls to the bus, like 6 a.m. or 6 a.m. to the airport or something. And I'm like, I'm not going to go out and party all night and get 3 hours of sleep and then go on a plane. I'm not going to do it. You know, it's just not going to do it. But, you know, those guys got up early that one night and that one day in San Francisco, and I kept hearing it over. And then you started playing something, Marcus, and then Daniel was, and it was like coming together all at once, and I'm in my bed. And I'm like, what about my part? You know, it's, you know, and I hadn't even had my coffee yet.
That's right.
You guys were just jamming at noon.
No, I think we finished it. Sorry, we finished it in 2 days, right? Something like it happened quickly. Yeah,
we did.
And you made sure there was a part for Janet.
I just joined on giving it that rock and roll groove, which is sort of my thing, and I love it. It's okay, you know. That's kind of what I add a lot to some parts in this band, and so I just give that backbeat rock groove. And I think between the four of us, we covered, you know, all of the main parts that really needed to be showcased in that song. And then again, we added the signature String Revolution thing, where we do a little extra thing at the very end of the song that, you know, we completely make up and tag onto that song. Which why not? I mean, we're doing a cover. You know, we're not going to, the song will never sound like Elton John completely. It's already changed, you know, so.
Morgan guitar players, yeah.
Your signature.
Exactly. So we put a little, you know, a little check mark at the end there. And that's really something we do often with covers. We also do a cover of Englishman in New York. I love that song. That's a fucking great song.
Song Englishman in New York. And I asked you about that last time, because there is a part in the middle where it's a drum beat.
And we did it.
It was that mainly Daniel, or was that everybody?
No, we're like, I'm doing this weird tuning thing, and Daniel's like, but I'm done. What are you doing, Marcus? I can't remember. We all broke it down.
Yeah, I don't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was another cover that came out of Marcus's original version, but Yeah, we wanted to try to stick to it, you know, as close to the song as possible. So we do the drum break. And it's funny because I saw I saw Sting on YouTube singing Englishman at like somebody's wedding, you know, and he sang the whole song without that part. And I'm like, we do the part, you know, and you're
that part.
Yeah, we do the drum part, but he couldn't do it. He was just singing it acoustic, you know.
Right,
and
Yeah. Well, he needed you guys.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck, man? We did the part, you know. Yeah. So yeah, and we're working on Crazy Train right now. So you know, in
Crazy Train acoustic, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, in memory of Randy.
Randy Rhoads, yeah. So Marcus, what when did you get to America? I totally skipped over that part.
Well, when I was jumping over the border, you mean?
No, I mean, like, you know, what age did you get to America?
So, I actually got here when I was 30, I believe, or 30. Yeah, so quite late. It was now 9 years, eight 9 years ago.
Oh, so you're already a musician in Europe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I already worked there for quite a bit. And then I decided to move to the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why was that?
I just had a bad day, I guess. And then I decided to...
Sarcasm is wearing thin.
Yeah.
Because last time we were talking to Janet, she was talking about how much she loves Europe.
I do.
She is over there.
Yeah. I love Europe. I love Europeans, and that was also really cool that we have two Europeans in the band. That's not coincidental. You know, it's again another thing from the universe. I mean,
it's a I think it's just a little bit different, of course. But I mean, what the U.S. is doing very very well is there's a lot of energy here in the business. You know, everyone just wants to do, and we as Austrians, we have always so much criticism about our own work, about other people's work as well.
Really,
we probably won't say it, but we criticize a lot. but I'm not only other people but also our own work, which makes it, you know, in Austria they're great musicians. You just will never hear anything from them because they will just sit in their own apartment and just play.
You have to measure up to people like not Bach, who comes, Mozart.
Yeah.
Mozart.
You have to measure up to these, you know. That's what I love. I mean, there's amazing musicians, you know, historically.
Yeah.
That's tough. You guys have tough music things. People go to music conservatory in Europe. It's fucking tough.
And you got a master's degree in music.
I did. Yeah. Man.
Yeah. And you told me about some pressured, you know, shows and concerts you would have to do. Like,
yeah. So, I mean,
very high pressure, you know, right?
Yeah, it is a lot of pressure. You know, we have, when I did that, my study was like 8 years, and you had just to learn a new piece. And I'm not talking about just a small piece, like really. I mean, if there are some classic musicians out there, it's just, you know, what it means. You need to practice like 8 hours a day.
Right.
And then you, like, Bach is the easiest thing to play among others. And I love to play that stuff. But you practice, and then
like an Olympic athlete, like an Olympic.
Right. I mean, it's classic music, right? What it did means you practice the same song 1,000 times. I mean, your technique it's better, obviously, but you play the same thing, right? You're only an interpreter. You're not a musician per se because you're not creating any music per se.
Right.
So it's something a completely different job you have. Whereas if you are jazz musician, you or rock musician, you create music. You but it's a different concept.
Did you find it freeing being in America, especially
freeing?
Freeing.
Did you find like a freedom type of feeling?
Freedom.
As a musician,
I did. I mean, for me, it took a while. I was really practicing like 8 to 10 hours a day. And that for 8-9 years nonstop, you know. So that was my thing, and I loved it. And then I was burnt out for like one or two years, and I just couldn't. I mean, I was able to play everything, but I just didn't want to do it. I just couldn't hear the stuff anymore. The problem is, if you practice so much, you lose the music, and that's what I was telling before when you said, do you need a lot of time? No, for music you don't need to practice that much, because music doesn't, you don't need to practice for that. It just comes out from your heart, you know. And if it's just one single melody, that's all you need to play, and you can reach the people just with playing one single melody. You don't need to have the technique. It depends on what you want to play.
Right? I think that there's good things and bad, well, not bad things about music at all. But there's all, you know, lots of different things you can take from both, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, the most important thing, and that took a while after I finished that, is like just to enjoy it again, to really go into it, and then. Instead of playing thousand notes in a short time, you just play two, three. But you need to play the right notes, right?
Right.
That's definitely important.
And then if you listen to Miles Davis, how he worked, and all those guys, I mean, you first of all, you just need to learn from the best, right? You listen to those guys. They always try to reinvent themselves and get new approaches and just. You know, don't play the same thing, just create.
That's where I think sometimes it's hard in classical music,
right?
Where they're fully only trained in classical music. Like, for instance, the keyboard player in Air Supply, great player, I love him. And he unfortunately passed away, but I loved him so much. But he comes from total classical background only, and he, reading everything. And I was like, Jed, you know, we should jam someday. And he's like, I don't know how to do that. And I'm like, what? He's like, I can't improvise. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Mm.
Of course you can. You just never tried it, you know? He's so, like, by the book and everything. And he had amazing technique. And he could read anything. But, I agree with... With Marcus, you know, maybe modern classical could be more free, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah. So because it was written at one point, right? And it was modern music.
But it can be okay to reinterpret Mozart or Bach. That's what they would probably say anyway. They would say, don't play like me. Do some. What can you do with my song?
Yeah.
Especially Mozart. He seemed like a...
Oh, he was like a fucking punk rocker.
I was a little bit addicted with Mozart's letters. So I read all of his letters.
I read some of his letters. I went to his house in Vienna, and he wrote a lot of letters. Yeah.
I read all of those, and
his sister was great too, P.S., by the way. His sister was a fucking great piano player, and they did not let women play back then in concerts.
Wow.
Go ahead, Mark.
Once again, the master segues, Janet.
Yeah. No, he's talking about letters. Go talk.
I'm gonna turn it around because you're one of the best, as I keep saying, one of the best guitar players in the world. But, has there been a glass ceiling for you?
I don't even know what that means.
That means there's a certain level you can get to and that's it.
No, there's never a glass ceiling with music.
Have you ever showed up and, you know, people you were recommended and people were like or have said you're good for a girl or
when I was younger, yeah, they used to say that. Yeah.
And I'm saying it weekly, but yeah.
Yeah, people used to say that when I was in Precious Metal. Or are your boyfriends playing behind the curtain or some bullshit like that? I mean, just ridiculous.
They don't say it now though, do they?
No, nobody says that now. No, I mean, my credibility, I'm older now and I've done a lot of work. It's different now. But speaking good question.
Speaking of the work, I mean, you both have, you know, Marcus is composing and doing other things. And how's the blues project going?
Oh, yeah, cool. I played some stuff to Mark. Didn't I play you some stuff, Marcus?
Yeah, you sent it to me. Yeah.
A while ago, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's going great. I mean, that's the pandemic has given me time to do that because I haven't, you know, been able to tour on my own thing or String Revolution.
Yeah, you know? Bree and audience, Janet's doing a record where she's digging up really obscure old blues records and playing along with them.
Yeah, I'm overdubbing on top of them. They're early, very early blues recordings from like the 20s and 30s, and I'm overdubbing on top to, you know, I'm not turning them into a dance record. I'm just sort of.
It's not Moby, although
no, you had these, no, it's not
great.
No, I still have to get everything cleared. But no, I'm renewing them, and that's the name of the project, Blues Renewed.
Oh, that's very cool. I'm sure you've got quite a few female musicians in there you're doing that with.
Yeah, me, myself, and I. I actually wanted to do it alone here at my studio. I'm playing all the instruments, drums, bass, guitar. Okay. Drums meaning that pillow in the back. See that pillow with the camel? Sometimes it's a little boom, 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 close mic'd, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to get a workout after this interview.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with that project, trying to make it sound so very cool. More organic and really stay true to the song, each song. And because no one would ever hear these songs. I mean, they're, you know, they're locked away in these archives. And, you know, I'm just trying to bring them out. And because, you know, really, if we had no blues, if we didn't have the blues, we'd not have any rock and roll at all.
Yeah. These are like from the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
It's a pure American invention. Actually, blues, you know, 1800s and, you know, pre.
Not that far, wow.
Sort of us, yeah, or early post-slavery, post-Civil War, but pre-Civil War, too, in the fields. Haulers. You know, plantation haulers. Working on it. That shit. So
beautiful.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing, you know.
Marcus, did you hear a lot of blues in Austria?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Blues is huge in Europe.
Really? I know.
It's really, really big. Yeah.
Huge, huge.
You a fan?
Of course. Yeah. Huge one. Really?
It seems that the antithesis of classical, although why not enjoy both?
Yeah, I played classical for concerts, but of course I always played in different bands. I had a tango group as well. A blues band as well. I always played different styles, and blues, I mean, it's so pure. It's from the heart.
It is so.
You normally have only three chords.
Pretty much.
Maybe a few extra chords, and then the rest is just from your soul, and that's
so special. And it really is an American, it's an African American invention. You know, the banjo is from Africa. You do know that, right?
I do know. I didn't know that before.
Brought over on slave ships, it's a drum with strings.
That makes sense. It's kind of tambourine-ish too.
So it was the black folks playing that instrument, and then it moved into the white, you know, folk music, which was really based from, like, either if you're Irish or German or English, you brought over your folk songs, you know, from your community, and they picked up that instrument as well as guitar.
Yeah, how did white people co-opt that to the point where I don't think I've ever seen a black person play a banjo?
Well, the chocolate drop.
I'm not saying that they don't, but I don't.
I'm working on a song right now. Papa Charlie Jackson, you know, it's called "Shake That Thing," and he's playing banjo. And you would think you'd think you're listening to Bill Haley in the comments. And this is like 1926 or something, and it's like, I'm gonna shake that thing, you know. 1925 or some crazy shit like that, and he's playing banjo. Black guy, you know.
Shake that thing.
That's right.
It basically could be a rap song, but it was from 1920.
And he was known for his banjo playing. So it really is when the white guys in the country music and bluegrass took over the banjo, and then, you know, like what white people do all the time, just exploited, you know, as a, you know, a cultural instrument from black Americans or black Africa. It's actually from Africa.
Cool.
Yeah.
Everything is. We're all from Africa. You go back far enough.
Yeah, we are. We're all. And yeah. In fact, the blues has its.
Even Mark is the most Nordic person. Africa. Well, Bree's pretty Nordic, but the two most Nordic people on here.
Even you're from Africa. But Marcus, I wanted to go back to those Mozart letters, because when I went to Mozart's house in Salzburg.
Yeah. Well, Salzburg is where he's born.
His birth house. They had letters, translated into English, and I was fascinated by them too. And I'm reading one, and it goes something like this. I'm putting my American tinge on it. Well, we were going to our next salon, which is a concert. We're on our way to the next salon, and the wheel on the chariot broke, so we had to pull over and wait for somebody to come fix it. I'm like, oh, they called AAA, back then. And then we made it to the next town and decided to sleep over at this hotel,
These letters were probably the ones because the ones you have right now from Mozart are the ones other people kept, because Mozart didn't keep any letters. So the answers to those things you don't know, but you know what Mozart wrote because his family.
Well, he wrote those, so somebody kept those.
Right. Letters. I mean, those letters, the nice ones, were to his dad because.
Yes, that was written to his dad.
Then you have the vulgar ones. Mozart was a pervert, just to make that self clear.
Do tell.
He was an extreme pervert, musical one. But he was
a pervert? You mean it just had a shit, sailor's mouth, or was he like really?
He had sex with his cousin, right?
So they did that shit back then. Come on. Everybody did that.
No, but I mean, if you read those letters, he goes very much into detail what he wants to do. Exactly. So
that's one detail, Marcus. Come on, give us one detail how Mozart was a pervert.
Okay, I'll try it.
Beep 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 beep.
Everything would be peeped out. No, I can't say this.
Did he like S&M? Did he like splashing? Did he like water sports? What did he like?
Oh well, you want to go so in detail? I think he didn't call it water sport. He probably called it something different.
Really? And who was the letter to?
His cousin.
Oh, he was writing to.
I just get it wrong, but he was his, I think his cousin. Yeah, something like that. I mean. And then at the same time, he had also something with one of the singers from his opera while he was already married.
That makes sense. I mean, that's just fucking.
So,
I was intrigued by another letter where he said, "This is my daily thing. I get up, I put my wig on." I mean, he wrote this. I have my tea and whatever some other language word he used. Then I practice, and then I have a pupil, right? So he's teaching.
Teaching, right?
And then I practice again. Then I'm teaching.
We get it.
Then I eat. Then I practice, and I'm like, okay, this is my life. I don't feel so bad. I'm teaching guitar too, and I'm going on the road. My car has broke down before. I've been in motels. I'm like, this is like fucking Mozart. I'm Mozart.
You are Mozart, Janet, except for the part. But I don't know. I don't know what you guys.
You're like Mozart, except the music. But
Life of a musician. The life of a musician has not changed.
It sounds like road tales.
The life of a musician has not changed,
The thing is, Mozart was one of the first ones who did it this way. Because until now, I need to be now the musical historian.
Yeah, go ahead. No. Go ahead.
But Mozart was the first.
Go ahead, Marcus.
One. I mean, he really and I think he, if you would say so, he invented the groupies in that sense. Because until then, everyone was hired by kings or some royals.
He was hired by his students' families to do salons, which were what we call now house concerts, which is what we're doing on the 28th.
Right.
And he's the first freaking house concert guy.
Yeah. Bree, you were a rock journalist for years. What's the wildest road story you ever heard?
Oh, gosh. There were a bunch of them. A couple of them I probably couldn't even still relate for fear of slander or libel. But a couple that came to mind were some of the road trips with Aerosmith.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And some of the craziest things that I witnessed were with Aerosmith. Yeah.
Oh, you got to tell my sister that. My sister,
but I want to have details now, to be honest.
But now they're all cleaned up now. But yeah, there was, you know, throwing of chairs on the tour bus and a lot of doing of various drugs, all kinds, you name it. So we're all familiar with what they were because everybody's in recovery now.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's de rigueur. So I would say that was one of the craziest. And Brian Ferry had a pretty wild
entourage
for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shocking.
There was a lot of stuff going on with the Brian Ferry band when I was watching them do their actual concert thing. Yeah.
Roxy. How wild did Brian Ferry get?
He was pretty tame compared to his bandmates.
Oh.
Yeah. Always the bandmates, isn't it?
It's always see you that and thank you guys for being on and going a little over time. I figured we would.
Oh,
I know what a motor mouth Janet is, and Marcus is once you get him going, forget it. And I mean that in the best way. I'd love talking to you. You were on one podcast, and the guy actually introed it by saying, after this conversation, I wanted to be your best friend. And that's the way I felt the first time I talked to you. That's why I wanted to have you back. But you toured with Meredith Brooks. Was this in the height when Bitch was the biggest song?
No, it was after that.
Okay, because I was going to say.
It was after that. She came out with another record called Shine. So it was after that. But we did play that song, and we had a nice run. We went on the road and we toured with Melissa Etheridge, and you know, and she was cool about having another girl in the band because she's quite a good guitar player, Meredith. Yeah,
Meredith Pro.
Very good.
But when you play Bitch in front of a Melissa Etheridge, Meredith Brooks crowd, they must go wild.
I loved it. It was awesome. You know, it's a great song, and I've become recently friends with the co-writer Shelley Pikin. Of that song, and it's a great song, you know, and yeah, it was great working with Meredith, you know, that was cool.
Well, it does, that song has stood the test of time.
It sure has. Great. So it's always about the song, you know. I mean, we are guitar players, and we're talking about our band as being guitarists and being very good at our skills and our craft, but I can't stress how important it is, no matter what you're doing, as an instrumentalist or singer, how important the song is. It does not matter how fucking good you are on your instrument or how great you sing, even. You got to have a good song.
What is your favorite String Revolution song?
Red Drops, hands down. You know, it's an original. It's simple. It's got so much feeling to it. It's emotional to me. And I just love it. And I think it's so simple. And everybody has a clear part. And your melody, Marcus, on it is beautiful. It's just fantastic. And it's beautiful.
How long did that take to write?
Well, was it you and Daniel that got together first? And then they brought it to the band, right?
Yeah. So I met for this one, I met with Daniel. And then we wrote the first parts or some parts of it. And then
you brought it to us.
Yeah. But it's very nice. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to play. It's, yeah,
Oh, I would say it's also one of our popular ones after shows. People
definitely is.
I mean, people love the covers. You know, people love the covers. It's always fun, but they always come up. And when people were buying CDs, they're like, "Do you have that song Red Drops? You know, is it on this CD?" You know, I was like, "Yeah, it's actually called Red Drops." But they're like, "Oh, I really love that song. I love that song." You know.
Right. I still I've got a. Free trial to Tidal now, so I'm listening on Tidal, and yeah, it's got all the covers are like the first three or four, and then Red Drops. So definitely, that's your popular.
Yeah, I mean, someday we'll do some kind of video for it. I mean, the boys want to keep moving on, but I still have faith in that song. I think it's a fantastic song, and it's a clear example of just a great song with a great melody.
Right.
You can never forget, you know, and it has no singing. So,
yeah, Marcus, what's your favorite String Revolution song?
To be honest, it's very, very difficult to say.
It's like your children. I understand.
No, I mean, I love to play La Rosa Negra, but because it's the Latin thing, I just love.
That's great too.
But wow, it's really. I think one of it's very difficult to say. I think I can't say. But the one thing I can say is I'm always surprised of which songs work good in concerts, because there are some songs I don't like that much, and I won't say which ones. But
the ones Janet wrote.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. You guessed it.
Right. Yeah.
All the ones Janet wrote. No. You know, it's just. Because I don't know, everyone has some different ideas but I'm always so surprised for every audience wants to have different songs.
And some songs work better on a record than live, you know. So, but we really do try to record the way we could play it live.
Right, Bree. How great are Marcus and Janet? I could talk to them forever.
Aren't they really fantastic?
Oh, thank you.
And they clearly are very passionate about your art. It's a joy to listen to you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.
You're hopefully crossing fingers. I can't even cross my fingers. Yeah. Crossing fingers. Be playing live in Pasadena in a couple of weeks, and I hope to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Full Moon Saturdays at Stonywood, and it's really a craftsman house, one of those old really super cool craftsman houses in Pasadena, and he's set up his backyard. He has a stage there all the time. It's like a built-in stage because he does a concert every month, and he's got a giant oak tree that's almost like a curtain volance, you know, over the stage. It's amazing. And we played it once before, didn't we, Marcus?
Yeah.
Years ago. So I'm really hoping it works out to do the show, and it will be also streamed live. It's a paid thing, so you have to pay.
I will definitely be sharing the link.
Yeah.
So Marcus, tell everybody how to get a hold of you, your social media, and anything you want to promote.
Yeah, I mean, generally, if anyone wants to reach out to info@thestringrevolution.com, that would be great. Also, I mean, please, if you want to check out our YouTube channel or Spotify, we would love to hear what...
Spotify would be great, because we're over 4 million streams now.
Right. Please reach out, say hello. We want to know who you are. If you have any questions we can answer, you know, please do so. You know, so info@thestringrevolution.com. You can find us on Instagram.
Yeah, it's all under the String Revolution.
Everything. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's all like Facebook, The String Revolution, Instagram, The String Revolution, Spotify, The String Revolution.
Stringrevolution.com or
thestringrevolution.com. Yes, it's thestringrevolution.com is our website. And yeah, we answer all our messages. And somebody will get back to you.
Janet even answered my message, and here you are. You've been on the show twice.
It's a pleasure, and it's the least we can do now. Everybody's kind of stuck at home, and you know, provide entertainment however we can, and keep listening to music, supporting music however you can, since we can't tour so much right now, and that's important. You're spreading the word. Thank you.
Yeah, and JanaRobin.com, and check Jana out the whole Jana Robin stuff and the String Rebels.
What's MarcusIlko.com, right?
Yeah, right. So if you want to check out any of my stuff, MarcusIlko.com, ILLKKO. Yeah.
And that's Marcus with a K, as it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. I need to say that, right?
Yeah, because some
people, America.
Yeah. And a shout out to our other two members, Daniel Schwartz and Art Zavala Jr., both occupied with some other jobs right now, so they couldn't be here.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. You guys are great. Thank you for filling in for Nicole. It's great to see you again.
Thank you for having me. It was always fun.
And we will. I will be sending you some String Revolution music, and maybe we'll figure something out. Maybe you can come up and watch the show, or I'll send you a live stream. We'll figure it out.
Live link. Cool.
Well, I'd love to come up and see the show. They really are, I can tell, a phenomenal amount of energy in their show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks, Dark Mark, for having us. Let me know when the link's out.
And if it's possible, I would like to have a little snippet of Red Drops at the end of the show.
That'd be great. I think you can... I can send you the MP3, or do you have it already? You can.
If you could send it to me, that'd be great.
Well, I'll send you the MP3. No problem.
And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. I'm not performing on Friday the 13th, unfortunately, but I will be performing at DomCon, S&M party next week. So that's
Marcus will join you.
I'll join you. I'll join you.
That's a big deal.
Now the conversation really starts. But everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Thank you.